also like to read the prayer list for this week. Prayers for a happy rebirth. All those killed by natural and man-made disasters. For all those killed by others or by their own hands. Venerable Kalsang Wangdu, Geraldine Harvey, Carolyn Marley, Dorje Tsering, Estelle Winstead, Boomer the dog, Mira the cat, Napoleon the cat, Seymour the dog, Skibo the dog. Job search, E.B., Roseanne Barona, Brian and Brandy, Joey Gooch, Joe Griffiths, Jim Kay, Lindsay Piatti, Sarai, Pooja Shah, Greg Weaver, Joe Whitley. Prayers for health and well-being, Kabje Lama Zompa Rinpoche, Venerable Thich Nhat Hanh, Venerable Gelatin, Venerable Churchila, all those harmed by natural and man-made disasters. Jorge Aurelio, Jim Austin, Jim Barnes, Luce and Narcisse Barona, Narcisse Barona Sr., Susie Boehm, Dale Bullis, Bunko, Yuki Burrows, Suzanne Diamondopoulos, Ted Domi, Tashi Doma, Mildred Gooch, Tracy Haas Thompson, Christina Harrison, family of Geraldine Harvey, David Hines, Frank Holt, Kenny Jackson Buddy, Dell and Sue Johnston, Zara Jones, Barry Judge, Helen Kasanoff, George Collar, Jonathan Kramer, Shanti and Kurt Latimer, Mary Lojek, Ina Lovelace, R.M., family of Carolyn Marley, Wilbert Martin, Elvia Mejia and family, Bruce Miller, David Muller, Audrey Murphy, Evan Merlin family, Jessica Nunley, Mary Oliver, Jay Pandya, Jamine Pandya, Renee Reyna, Ann Rivers, James Rowan and Teresa Creighton, Ralph Rumley, Ariana Scott, Joanne Cease, Ronnie Schumann and family, Andre Smith, Bond Smith, Emily Smith, Nancy Sorbet, Jim Satoris, Lobsam Toptem, family of Dorje Tsering, Dion Washington, family of Estelle Winstead, Shay Wokowicki, Marguerite Young, Brittany the Maltese, Dorje and Kadro the Pigs, and Spike the Cat. Good morning. Good morning. My name is Lamo. In a few minutes, Geshe-la will be coming through this door right here. And so when he enters, if everyone would please stand out of respect for him and the teachings, then you'll see him prostrating to the altar, and he has invited us to prostrate with him. If you feel uncomfortable doing so, please just remain standing. That's perfectly fine. And we'll be saying some prayers. You'll find either the gold prayer book or you'll find a white binder. If you're sitting in a chair, it's behind your chair, in the pocket behind you. If you have the gold prayer book, then I'll tell you the page number. And if you have the white binder, it's in the first page. It says Kadamba Center Prayers. I think that's what it says. And it'll be on the front side or the back side. I think the back side are for the dedication prayers at the end of the teaching. Now, Geshe-la has, for the past several weeks, has been inviting people to make comments, ask questions, and so forth. So if he does, and you would like to participate, if you just wait to have the handheld mic, And then, you know, when it's turned on, be sure to put it very close to your mouth, almost, you know, touching it, because otherwise the sound doesn't pick up. And we are streaming this. Don't worry, the camera is focused right here, so they can't see you. But the people who are listening and the people, and this teaching will also be recorded for people who cannot come. And there are, you know, people who are either out of town or sick that can't come. And so they would really need to hear your questions and your comments. Oh, yes, and there's a structure outside. It's called a stupa. Let's see. I guess you can't see it any right here on the altar. But it's very, it has great merit and purification practice to circumambulate it clockwise, and even just one time at, because of the primary relics in there. They're called Dharmakaya relics. And also to spin the prayer wheels to and from going to the stupa. The prayer wheel is like that brown and gold object on Geshe-la's throne. If you have cell phones, if you please either turn them off or put them on mute so as not to disturb the teachings. Let's see. The children are welcome to come sit in front if they like. Not sure whether Venerable Khanda will be giving a story today or not. We're not quite sure. Yeah, maybe. Okay, so let's get ready, get our minds ready to receive the teachings. If you, since no one forced you to come, hopefully, to the teachings, you've been accumulating merit ever since you left home. We'll try to quiet our minds. On page, in the Goal Prayer Book, please turn to page 183. And we'll chant the Shakyamuni Buddha's mantra, which is between the two lines toward the bottom. So in the prayer book, it would say Shakyamuni Buddha's mantra. Taya ta om mune mune maha munaye soha taya ta om mune mune maha munaye soha taya ta om mune mune maha munaye soha. Turn to page 34. And then we'll read the four measurables in English. So in the White Prayer Book, it's the four measurables. May all sentient beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. May all sentient beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all sentient beings be inseparable from the happiness that is free from suffering. May all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free from attachment for friends and hatred for enemies. I'll turn to page 37 in the Goal Prayer Book. In the white binder, it's just see the words in Tibetan by the music notes. So in the on page 37, you see the four immeasurable chanting version. So that's what we'll chant. And then below that, the two mantras, Chenrezig mantra and Green Taurus mantra. San Chen Tam Che De Wa Dong De Do ya no. Chant Shenrei Zik's mantra 8 times, and then Green Tower's mantra 7 times while recalling the names on the prayer list I read earlier, and also those in your hearts and minds. Om Mani Padme Hum, Om Mani Padme Hum, Om Mani Padme Hum, Om Mani Padme Hum. Om Mani Padme Hum, Om Mani Padme Hum, Om Mani Padme Hum, Om Mani Padme Hum. Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re Soha, Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re Soha. Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re Soha, 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 Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re Soha.
Good morning. Okay. Well, I wasn't going to tell a story this morning, but then I was talking to somebody and the topic was fear. So, has anybody here ever been afraid? New? Once in a while? Okay. Well, this story comes from the mountains of Tibet and Central Asia. And in Central Asia and in Tibet, there are mountain sheep. They're kind of like our bighorn sheep from the Rocky Mountains. And they're called Argali. Now, that's what the English transliteration is. I have no idea what it is in Tibetan. But it was springtime. And so, of course, there were some young sheep, of course, boys and girls. So here's where you guys get to make some choices. Now, the young sheep that this story is about can be Oliver, or it could be Olivia, or it could be Patrick, or it could be Patricia. So you get to decide. You get to name your sheep. Of course, it was springtime, so what were they doing? They were practicing leaping, jumping, climbing, butting. They were doing it extremely well. And of course, there was a great competition about which of the sheep could climb the highest. Well, one of the sheep, and this is where you get to name it, my personal sheep's name was Jeanette. I always thought so, and so did my mother. So, very good at jumping. Very good at leaping. Climbing, not so good. Didn't like heights. This is a really bad place to be for a mountain sheep, not liking heights. So, they would be doing this competition, and as soon as the climbing to the high part came along, Jeanette would kind of disappear.
or Olivia, or Oliver, or Patrick, or maybe Rahul. No, you were probably highest up. Yeah. And you? You were very high up too? Rosabelle? Oh, what a beautiful name. Do we have any other sheep names here? Okay. So Rosabelle? Oh, I like that. They're very nice. Well, what Rosabelle noticed was that really, really early in the morning, just when it was beginning to be light, but not so light, you couldn't quite tell yet, one of the older sheep left and started climbing and climbing and then would disappear into the mist. Well, Rosabelle thought to herself, I wonder where he's going. This sheep's name was Aloysius. Aloysius, because he wished a lot. Kind of like a pony? A pony with horns. Okay. I like that. That's good. So, one day, Rosabelle got the courage to go up to Aloysius, who kind of kept to himself, and say, "Where do you go every morning?" And Aloysius said, "Well, if you climb really high and you get past the mist, you get to see the day be born. And I really like to start my day with watching the day be born and saying my prayers." So, Rosabelle said to him, "Well, can I go? But I'm afraid I don't like to climb." And Aloysius said, "Well, you're welcome to come with me any morning if you want to get up that early. But I can't carry you. You're going to have to climb. But there's a really good path, and I've been following it for many years." So, a couple of mornings later, Rosabelle woke up really early, and when she saw Aloysius climbing up, she says, "Can I follow you?" And he said, "Yes, you can." And so he said, "Now put your feet right where I put my feet, and everything will be fine." And so slowly, slowly, they climbed up the mountain and through the mist and watched the day be born. And they said their prayers and rejoiced. Well, he said, "How are you good at climbing down?" She said, "I'm not quite so sure about that either." And so very carefully they climbed back down. Well, Rosabelle and Aloysius did this for a few days. And she learned the path. And she learned the path that took her out of her fear. And guess what? If you looked within a few days later, there was Rosabelle. And she was leaping. And she was jumping. But guess what? She was climbing. And from that day on, she always went up to see the day be born and say her prayers. The end.
Thank you. You are great listeners. And have a great class, okay? Thank you for that name. I really appreciated it. It was very beautiful. It's from what?
I don't want to
talk. Okay, you don't want to talk about it today? Good. Maybe another time. Maybe a family dog. Hi, Rose.
Hi.
Good morning. Maybe a few minutes. meditations. Please, would you mind take 1 minute to introduce to yourself to each other? Yeah. Thank you very much. Sorry to interrupt your wonderful conversation. So we don't have much time. How many of you are interested about meditation? How many of you are interested about meditation? Oh, yeah. Not every Sunday, but you know, like every like couple of Sundays, I do, give some kind of introduction of meditation. So, first thing, you know, it's important to based on, I'm not talking about generally speaking, based on Buddhism, first thing is important to learn how to sit. Sitting, that's called what you call sitting positions, okay? In order to meditate, first thing is like how to sit, you know, how to sit when you meditate, okay? So I'm going to explain that. First, you know, the feet, they're like full Vajracross, and also half Vajracross. Full Vajracross is kind of difficult, you know, like you see both of your heel on your lap, that's kind of difficult. Half Vajracross, you know, so you don't have to show, as they don't have to see your heels on your lap. Half Vajracross, no? Gangba. So that's the first one, no? Gangba. So, that's how meditation has been done, traditionally. That's how the meditation has been done. Not like extending your feet, you know, so then like sitting like that. So now we'll come later on that, you know, back to the definition of meditation. But this is traditional, this is how the meditation has been done. First, you know, sit full Vajracross or maybe half Vajracross, you know, you sit Gangba. Then hand. All right. left hand below, right hand above, like this. Huh? Then the two thumbnail touch. Huh? But you know, this shape is something to do with the inner heat, but that's more complicated, so we just leave them aside. Something the shape, there's something to do with inner heat. So that's how the hand, the left hand below, right hand above, then the two thumbnail is supposed to touch. Then place that hand, forefinger below your belly button. But you don't need, you don't need to measure. You just place there, you know. Sometimes people hold like this, that's too much. It's too much, too difficult, you know. Just place on the left. Comfortable, you know. So then the back, you know, back should be straight. You know, should be straight. So I think it's good, you know, the sake of knowledge, I think it's good to learn how the meditation has been done traditionally. First you learn how to sit properly. So when you learn that, if somebody comes to you, asks about meditation, you can teach them, you know, sitting positions. Then you are teaching them something that has been originated 2,500 years ago. It's not like Gisikale just made it up last night. I didn't make it up last night. It's already been, you know, taught, so I'm just repeating here. Oh, come on. So then, you know, something to feel good about. At least you are giving them some instructions that has been originated, you know, thousands of years have. It has history of thousands of years of history. Oh. Okay, so there's something to feel good about, you know, from your side. Oh. So now there's seven positions, sitting positions. First one, leg. Second, hand. Third, back. You know, so back should be straight, okay? Should be straight, like uncooked Italian pasta. So the example they use in the text, they call it a stack of coins. You know, stack of coins, probably you know, it's better than uncooked Italian pasta. That's better. Long time ago, there was no pasta there. So they have coins, you know. So, come on, okay, about some so I may not, you know, go to the right order, but doesn't matter, so I will explain to you seven of them. Come along, okay, so, so then, teeth, tongue, lip, count one. Teeth, tongue, lip, even though it's the three, it's count one. So then, you know, like, not like this. Not like, it looks so serious. You know? Everything needs to be relaxed. No serious, just relax. So true. So leave should be, you know, everything should be natural. Natural. Everything should be natural. So then tip of the tongue, you know, they said in the instruction, tip of the tongue should place on your upper palate. Palate? To prevent thirst, you know. Also prevent, you know, to come down something. Drip, yeah, you know, sometimes it happens, you know, like. At the beginning, you know, like, that's a lot of blood. Then it's like, so then your own snore become alarm. So probably, you know, like that's happening in the monastery, but you know, there's a lot of sitting in the monastery, so long hour of sitting, so then, you know, like sometimes it just collapse. So it will prevent the, drawing, it prevents the drawing. So therefore, you know, also supposed to stop thirst, you know, stop thirst. So it's not good to try, especially in this country, you like to hike. So if you place your tip of your tongue on your upper palate, you'll not get touched very quickly. So try not to hide at all. So this count one, that's four. Number four, first leg, second hand, third back, fourth lung, tongue, lip, teeth. That's count one for you. So then shoulder. Like, you know, like not like this, you know. If you touch like this, that's not good. Relax. You know? Make sure there's not enough space, go, the winds go through. You know? Okay, there's some space there. go, that's number five, shoulder, go me, go there. So then, head. That's number six. You know? Head, you know, not like this. That's according to tradition, you know. Head should be a little bit slightly bent. Slightly bent, you know. So then, eye, that's number seven. Now, head six, eye number seven, should place down on the tip of the nose. But you know, you don't have to make extra effort to see the tip of nose. Most Tibetan people's nose has flat nose. It's hard to see the nose. German and Swiss, they have really long nose. It's easy to see. But they have no point. But just look down. Just look down. Not the point is not to see the tip of your nose. Yeah, so for me, it's hard to see, you know. So these are the what you call seven sitting positions, you know. So this is good to learn. So I think it's important, you know. There's some of you heard about Marpa. There's a teacher of Milarepa. Milarepa? So he said, you know, there are so many people meditate in Tibet, but none of them can compete the way I sit. So that indicates something, you know, importance of sitting positions is something important. So, if you are having trouble choosing the channel when you watch TV, and deciding the channels, if you sit like this and watch TV, so that will prevent you from touching the remote controls. There's been another benefit, you know. That's probably good to watch one channel with this like this. So then you can use your hand. that's a joke. that's not a part of the instruction, sorry. That's not part of the instruction. So these are seven sitting positions. So then, you know, comfortable body, and it's very important, comfortable mind. Means, you know, if your mind is always upset, you can meditate. You cannot meditate, but you can sit. You know, you can sit, chicken can sit, squirrel can sit, they can sit. But, you know, this is just sitting position. This is not meditation. It's just how you sit when you meditate. That's how you sit, you know. So nowadays, they even have the photo of the cat, you know. Unbelievable, the cat. You see the photo of the cat? Looks really peaceful. You only see that in America, not in other countries. The cat meditating. I brought that picture here a couple of times. So the cushion here you call meditation cushions, actually it's called concentration cushions, something in there. So in that cushion, when you sit on, you are going to concentrate, you know, concentrate. Why we concentrate? When you concentrate, that's the way to make your mind calm and peaceful, when you concentrate. You think one object, you know, think nothing, that's very difficult, right? Think nothing. So therefore, maybe the rest of the class we are going to discuss about meditations. Easy to say, oh, just sit, no, then think nothing. That's very, very difficult. It's very, very difficult, you know. So like, mind will think. Even in the sleeping, mind still thinks, you know. So if you think one thing, one single object, you think, that's concentration meditation. When you concentrate, when you place all your mental attention on one single object, that's the way to make your mind calm and peaceful. See, That's why. That's all. Nothing more, nothing less. That's all. Sunday Chishi. So then wisdom liberates, no? Not just mere faith. Wisdom liberates. Wisdom free us from complications. Wisdom free us from problems. Not just simple, you know, mere faith, you know. So therefore, education is critical. Tuba maybe gomjin de lagdum thala zavodas, you know, like meditator without knowledge, and meditating is like person without arm trying to climb the mountains. It's like that. You know? You have to have something to meditate on. So then meditation becomes productive, because you are sitting there, not just sitting like chicken. So then your meditation becomes chicken meditation. No? You cannot sit on one leg. Chicken can sit on one leg long time. Put the head there, like, you know. For us, the challenge, there's no meditation, just sleeping. So then your meditation becomes productive, because you are thinking something, you know, you are thinking something. Wide awake, fresh, completely aware. Aware is not just, you know, not just like that cooked Italian pasta with tomato. You know, cook Italian pasta with tomato, then all like, you know, like this. And then, so, this is just sitting. What we learned, what I explained, just sitting position. You know, that's how you sit when you meditate. So then, first thing, what you do, you analyze your mental state. When you analyze your mental state, is my mind is upset or disturbed, happy, unhappy? If you find out your mind is kind of disturbed, what you need to do, you need to focus on breathing meditations. Before you do any form of meditations, you must do breathing meditations. And how you do the breathing meditations? If you find out your mind is not settled or disturbed, coming to center, or something happened yesterday, you know, store at the house, or maybe, you know, about cleaning the house, about moving the furniture, or painting the color in the house, you know, what colors, or maybe like what kind of food, you know, should it like vegetarian, not vegetarian, Indian food, Italian food, whatever, you know. Which leg to go, not to go, all of that, bike, no bike, going to flea market, not flea market, all of that, you know. Like, you know, every day, you know, there's like, have issues every day. So, if you find out your mind has been disturbed, so then, before you do any form of meditation, you should do breathing meditation. So then, if you find out your mind is disturbed, so you should breathe, you should exhale forcefully. Okay, forcefully. Before you do that, please clean your nose. So forcefully breathe, forcefully. Then imagine, you know, deep down from your heart, that your disturbing thought is goes out of your systems, okay? And out of the room, then out of the universe, disappear. Then, breathe in, slowly, that's one. Then breathe out, slowly, then breathe in, that's two. Not from the nose. Then breathe out, breathe in, that's three. And count seven. No? And with full awareness, breathing in, out, you can say out, in, one, out, in, two. You do seven, then again do seven more, then stop, then do seven more, then eventually 21 times, altogether 21 times. Okay, so then after that, any form of meditation, then you see, you know, your mind is going to be, it, you know, from disturbing state to neutral state, it becomes neutral. That's a way to neutralize your mental state. So then out of, you know, neutral mind is easy to develop something positive. Something positive. Okay? It's very, very hard to generate some kind of positive thought out of negative thought. It's very difficult. So therefore, this 21 breathing meditation will neutralize, you know, your mind. So then from there, you rise with some kind of positive thinking. Or positive thinking. Okay? Or as a Buddhist, the first positive thinking is like thinking about the precious human life. Life is so precious, so meaningful, so difficult to find, you know. Precious human life, you know, precious. Not like, oh, this life is not good, it has no meaning, you know, it has all kind of problems, you know. That's not what we should not think. What we should think is, this is something very precious. This is a boat. It's fully capable to cross the ocean of, you know, complication. That means refers to samsara, you know. In samsara, there's always something. There's always something. Oh, spring is wonderful, but there's pollen. You know, there's pollen. There's always something. There's always something. Why was that? That is nature of samsara. That's what it is. It's not like something that you are doing wrong. Being part of samsara, in some case, they say in the text, you know, kuakabhi semula devanamayama, samsara is like tip of needle, tip of needle. Make sense? Sitting on tip of needle, there will be no happiness, right? Kuakabhi semula devanamayama, no matter how you sit, it's going to punch, it's going to pinch. You know, that is the nature of samsara, should not be surprised. You know, we are not going to be happy all the time. That's the reality. You know? Why does no, in samsara, that's not like ultimate happiness. Where's ultimate happiness? If you liberate, you know, for good, you know, so that's called liberation, enlightenment from the Buddhist point of view, moksha. When you liberate, so there'll be no more complications. And if there's any complication you experience, then you can complain. Oh, no, so I thought I was only liberated. Oh, but you know, it's some problem. Oh. So please, you know, if you are interested, you know, like we all have wish, you know, you have wish, I have wish long time, I have wish, you know, since I was born, so you have wish since you are born to be happy all the time. But that wish, that's a good thing to have that wish. But how that happiness can be obtained is another thing. Oh? Samsara, you know, kokoa. Just recognizing, you know, being part of samsara, just recognizing that will eliminate unrealistic expectations. Oh? Some point in our life we are going to have headache because we have head. If we don't have head, we'll never get headache. That's not something that you are doing wrong. You know, so there's something, you know, sometimes it's not happy, you know, it's okay, you know, it's okay, it's not going to be like this tomorrow, you know, forever, you know. Today's not a good day, but tomorrow's not going to be like this. Everything changes, you know, nothing lasts forever, everything changes, you know. Mm. So, it requires some deeper understanding of, you know, like mind, nature of, so what is, just read, what is samsara? Why there's so many things happening? Why? You know? So just, you know, need to educate our mind, okay? So that's all about meditation is about. So then after that, when you neutralize your mental state, then from there, then you try to develop something positive, you know, some kind of positive mind. So then there are like analytical meditation, many different types of meditation you can do. Analytical meditations, review meditations, concentration meditations, there's a number of meditations you can do. Review meditations, then you have to have some material to review, right, by heart. So if you realize the bottom line is like to think some positive, but you know, easy to say, then how you think positive? How? So there's like, you know, some materials, you know, it leads you step by step, you know, how to think some positive, you know, something positive. So then if you have some material to review, so then you know, then you can, you know, sit, then you can just, you know, review those materials by heart. So that's, you know, going to be productive meditations. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. So, is it clear? If you are interested in meditation, no? So that's how meditation is done. And through meditation, what we are trying to do, so, and I find one quote that's kind of interesting, you know. So I thought, okay, when we meditate, what are we trying to do? We are learning. When we meditate, what we are doing, we are learning how to walk away. How to walk away, how to learning, when you try to meditate, we are learning how to walk away from people and the situations that, you know, like, that threaten your peace of mind or disturb your peace of mind. Make sense? Why? Because meditation is about, you know, to generate positive thinking. So there's a second session I very much like. We already did that one. Remember, what is meditation? What is meditation? So we all contribute. You all contribute. Okay. What is meditation? What is for? What is meditation? What is for? What is for? What we need, you know, we need more positive thinking people. We need more positive thinking people means more compassion being, more kind being, more loving beings. That's what we need. Oh? So I've been thinking, you know, another quote I read, you know, if you have to choose between kind and right, being kind and being right, choose being kind. You are always going to be right. Kind people, compassionate people benefit communities, you know, benefit communities, no? More religious people doesn't guarantee peace of the world. More Christian doesn't guarantee, more Buddhist doesn't guarantee. The problem is not the teaching. Problem is the people who's not practicing the teaching. It's not the teaching that is the problem. So loving kindness, compassion, that's what we need to spread. That's the meditation we all do, you know. We do meditation on loving kindness, compassion. So that, you know, need to learn instruction how to do meditation on compassion, loving kindness, kind. See, this is very, very important. This is very important. Everybody enjoy kind people, compassionate people. You can have very strong religious belief. At the same time, you can be very mean. Am I right? You know, being religious doesn't mean being kind. What world need? World need more kind people, open-minded, kind people. We are all in this same boat, what we call samsara. Everybody has issues. Everybody has issues. Even though we look good, you know, smell good. No, we take shower, we smell good, we look good, we nice, wear nice clothes. Doesn't mean we are entirely good. No, we have problems. When you understand the true nature of samsara, then there's ground that you develop to generate compassion towards all living beings. You know, everybody has, you know, difficulties. So, so then why you say something very negative to someone, you know, same as you, want happiness every single moment and looking how to overcome from suffering. In that regard, there's no, you don't have extra reason to be happy. So, so you know, that's why I'm saying it does require some kind of deeper understanding, you know, need to educate, you know. Otherwise, the mind is unfortunately is not trained, you know, the mind is not trained. You know? So that's exactly, I think, the goal, you know, to get here, every Sunday to get here, how to be kind, be, you know, compassionate, be loving, open our mind towards all living beings, you know. This is that is more important than, you know, all this, you know, secondary level differences. That, you know, I'm Tibetan, you're American, you know, I'm Asian, you are, you know, what? You know, there are so many differences. But the bottom line, we all have feeling. I'm Tibetan, doesn't mean I don't have feeling. I do have feeling. You're American, doesn't mean you have no feeling. You have feelings, you know. So back in the backyard, the bird also has feelings, you know. So, so like, you know, the second now, if you want to contribute something, so that's what I want to hear from you. What is meditation? What is for? What is for? Oh. Okay. So then, 9-round breathing meditation, I will explain. If you wonder about 9-round breathing meditation, please talk to people here. They know a lot of people know, and they can explain to you. Okay. So what do you think about having discussions about meditations? What is meditation? What is for? What is meditation? What is it for? No? I very much like to hear from you. Anybody want to contribute? Without pressures, no pressures. Yeah, please just say, you know. Yeah, then everybody will learn something, please. Yeah.
Well, I just want to, the main reason.
Yeah, please, yeah.
The main reason why we came here is I've been having lots of migraines, and I thought like learning to meditate and learning that stuff will be able to help me deal with that pain while it's happening or before. So this is the first time we come in like 7 years, and we came for this, and you're talking about meditation for a while, so it's like super super helpful.
Oh,
so thank you.
Thank you. So see, like, yeah, it's not like when you have pain, you know, it's not, especially when you have excruciating pain, it's very hard to think something positive, you know. So, that case, you know, I think taking medicine is necessary, you know, so. And also, I read some texts, according to Buddhist teaching, there's a Mahayana Buddhist teaching. And there's like the Sutrayana, Vajrayana, Tantrayana Buddhist teachings. That teaching there talks about chakras and channels, energies, all of that. In that teachings, so we have like 72,000 channels and like, five chakras, and there's 72,000 channels. Channels with those channels merge from the chakras. So, among those channels, there's three main channels in the center of our body, you know, close to our back. The entrance of the central channel is here. What do you call?
Third eye.
Therefore, they said, if you rub, if you rub here, I'm not sure like where like exactly, but you know, but somewhere, if you rub, you know, it says it will help headaches. I just want to share that information with you. In the teaching, you know, I didn't make it up in the teaching. It says, so then there's another form of like meditation that you can do. It's called giving and taking practice meditations, Tonglen meditation. So giving and taking Tonglen meditation. You can visualize yourself in front of you. You can picture yourself in front of you and take all the pain out of loving kindness. Out of loving kindness, you take the pain. You take pain. Oh. Then out of compassion, you send all the positive energy. That's called giving and taking practice. Then slowly, slowly, maybe do like, you know, all the people, you know, who has also had it. And just think something, just, once we focus just, you know, just on our own problems, then it becomes like unbearable. If you expand, you know, oh, no, just me, you know, there's a lot of people, you know, that, so, with courage, out of compassion, you know, think, okay, as a, think about, it's like your head is not just head is doing something good for bigger, you know, something is doing something good for a lot of people, you know, just, you know, that's called Tonglen practice. If you're interested, then talk to nuns, okay, here, nuns after the class. It's called giving and taking practice. So then rubbing here also helps. Then also visualizing like bright dark blue lights top of your head. Bright dark blue lights, that symbolize healing energy. Symbol of healing energy. And just visualize that. But there's a mantra, if you're interested, that's called medicine for the mantra. You know, that you can also learn that through mantra you can visualize that healing energy slowly dissolve into your body and fill every cell in your body and eliminate all the sicknesses. Or like that. No, there are called healing practice. You can also, if you're interested, okay. Yeah. Thank you for your contributions. Anybody else? Yeah. Then if anybody else want to say something, please, you know, free to contribute, you know.
I've been meditating since last July, more or less, on and off, consistently now for about 4 months. I have mental health issues, technically, and I was on a lot of medications, and the medications kept me from feeling, you know? And kind of numbed you, and kind of, it wasn't who I was, you know? And with meditation, you know, it for me, it was a process of self-discovery. Basically figuring out who I was, how my emotions worked, you know? It's a slow process, you got to be patient. That's, for me it is, you know, it's slow, but I've noticed that, I mean, it opens up a lot of doors about who you are, about your, not just, like creativity, imagination, a lot of things come out of it. Like, I don't know. It's like I said, it's a process of self-discovery, and that's where I'm at right now. And it's just every day it seems like it's getting a lot more. You know, so it's. Some people find it frightening, I guess. I don't know, but I find it interesting, and it gives me some passion, I guess. Well, yeah, that's what it is for me.
Yeah, give it a please, Paul. Both of you. Yeah. Anybody want to share? Yeah.
Just to piggyback on the whole mental health issue there, I had a baby 5 months ago, and I had some pretty serious postpartum depression afterwards. I also work in daycare, so it's like kids all the time. So it got very, very loud and chaotic and overwhelming, and it just became really hard to have a good day and to be kind to other people because all I could hear in my head was just noise. And I just got really overwhelmed by that noise. Mm-hmm. And for me, meditation became the quiet, where I actually started getting up a little bit earlier in the morning so I could sneak downstairs when my husband and my baby were still sleeping, so I could get in my my one cup of coffee, and, you know, even if it was only 10, maybe half an hour if I'm lucky, where I could just have some quiet just to kind of, you know, bring it together and have some stillness and just kind of get away from that feeling of chaos and being overwhelmed. I found that for the rest of the day, in spite of the fact that, yes, chaos follows me, I work with children, that it was a lot easier to be patient and to be kind, because that stillness was like my foundation that I could build the rest of the day on, instead of just waking up and having that sound, that chaos and feeling overwhelmed all day. I was able to build this little sanctuary of stillness and peace before, you know, the chaos descended of being a mom and being a teacher. And that really, really helped me to maintain my patience and my kindness, and it felt better for me to be kinder to the people around me, and I'm sure it made, you know, my husband has told me too that it made me a lot more pleasant to be around because I was a lot more patient and a lot happier after that. So it really is a powerful thing just to be able to meditate and to find that little bit of stillness and peace in your own mind, especially as chaotic and busy as everybody's days can be. You know, if you have a job, if you have kids, it's anarchy. It's nuts. Yeah. So just having that little bit of sanctuary in your own mind, that just was this anchor of sanity for me. So...
So meditation for me is incredibly crucial. Is it on? I have no idea.
Closer.
Closer? Oh, that works. Meditation for me is incredibly crucial. I am a cook, so that's the epitome of crazy and angry, and there is no amount of what Gordon Ramsay is to what my chef is. Gordon Ramsay is a very kind man compared to my chef. So it gets very intense, and it's very easy to get sucked in those moments of just feeling anger, and just, it's over and over again, Geshe-la mentions like thoughts that are just not good for your mind, and so you have to clear out your mind of these thoughts. And I think that during service, for me, when I'm in my busy moments and when people are screaming for their food and screaming for things to get done, or that's not right, then having that moment of calmness and clarity is what helps me push through the service and actually enjoy cooking more. Makes me want to cook outside of the home instead of feeling like I can't even enjoy a passion of mine. So meditation helps me be better at my job, but better at being a person, not just a line cook while I'm in service.
And I think it's in Wisconsin, there's the Mind and Life, that's where it is. Led by the Dalai Lama and all of these scientists. Well, what intrigued me is when they took this one monk and they put electrodes all over his head. And the task was to, now, if that was You know, they measured it. His tranquility, if you will. And then he was to go out into the city and do normal things. Go to the museum, whatever he wanted to do. But then at the end of the day, to come back and measure it again. And I'm fascinated because it was the same. It was at the same level. So I'm wondering if anybody, I haven't heard yet, we can get the tranquility, but I'm really interested in keeping it throughout the day, regardless of what happens, who's ugly, you stomp your toe, whatever. Just holding it and then returning that night at your same level.
Good morning. Oh, Jill's pointing at me, so I think I'm supposed to say something. Okay, got it. So every morning during the weekday, some of us, there's a few people that gather here every weekday morning, Monday through Friday, at 8 o'clock, and we have kind of an unguided meditation. So people, there's no leader. We just come and we sit, we light a candle, and it's available for anybody, actually. The purpose of the center is to make Buddhism and Buddhist practice available. And so everybody's welcome to come, and we're here, like I say, every morning, Monday through Friday at 8 o'clock. If you'd like to come, please do. Thank you.
So I'm like on this anti-label kick of late, and one of them is to put like a big label on meditation. And like what it is and what it's not. I just know a definition that Geshe-la said is to become familiar with. And to me, it's to become familiar with my mind being calm. And so I do sit in the morning. And whatever you call that, it sets me up right. That's something I do. But if that's all I relied on for the rest of the day, then I'd be cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. You know what I'm saying? So what I do is, like at work, you know, I work for 20 people at a time, and they could all be like, you know, I'm like a scarecrow and all these crows picking at me. Sometimes I get a little crazy in my head, and I literally say, Jeff, you need a time out. And I take a walk around the building, and that's a meditation. I don't put a label on it. It's anything I have to do. Like I do anything I can not to drink and use drugs every day. I do everything I can at any given moment just to try to keep my mind calmer than where it's at right now. It doesn't have to be anything fancy, but I know that from keep doing it, I do get familiar with my mind being calm, and it's very easy to get uncomfortable and more aware of it when it's starting to get a little crazy, you know, like cuckoo in there, and there's a lot of stuff in there, but so it's just, so that way I don't put a label on it. It's not like I have to sit and, you know, have snake charmers and all this stuff, you know, I do sit in the morning and do a formal meditation, but during the day, it's anything I can do to keep my mind calm. Walk around, call somebody, send someone a funny text, anything I could do to get out of myself.
Hi, good morning. I want to say sorry for my English, because I am learning English, but I want to say the meditation call or stop my heart. I have like a heart issues since I bore with this. It's a congenital problem. And since the 19 years old, I start to take a pill for stop my heart, for the fibrillation. And I take this medicine for 20 years, almost 20 years, but I know what was bad medicine because it stole my heart, but at the same time do other problems to my body. And like 3 years ago, I start to meditate, and that's calm my mind, calm my heart. And after 1 year meditating, 2 years ago, my body start to don't need any more this medicine. And I went to my doctor and he said, okay, let's try 1 month. Maybe you need to disintoxicate your body for this medicine. And I have almost 2 years and I didn't take any more this medicine. So it's amazing because sometimes when I feel my heart beating a little bit fast, I just, hey Jenny, when was the last time you meditate? And that's it. It's just that. It just calms your mind, calms everything else. See, it's amazing. It's a healing process.
Did your doctor take you with
the medicine? Yes. But my doctor, they are doctor, you know. They are science people. But I say, it's no exaggeration because he said, let's start with a month with this medication. Because it's amiodarona, it's something really hard. It's the only thing that can stop my heart. And he said, okay, let's just talk for a month. Okay, your doctor, I continue with. Okay, 2 months, 3 months. I came here to the United States, and the doctor said, okay, you don't need it. Just be careful. If you feel your heart start beat fast again, we come back. But I don't want to come back to this medicine, so I don't have other choice. Just meditate and try to be calm.
Can somebody say something, how to reach, you know, that, what you call, stillness, what you call, when we meditate? The one your lady, you said, like, how to reach. I was wondering, like, how you reach, you know, stillness. Yeah, if you don't mind to please, like, give me some information, how to reach that stillness.
Well, I admit I don't really have a, like a sitting position or anything. Really, it's just actively enjoying the quiet, if that makes sense. Like being present in the quiet. Mm. You know, because like I said, I have a baby, I work with kids, I'm kind of used to my surroundings being just very loud and chaotic and everybody's moving and somebody's screaming and somebody's crying, and it's just, I go downstairs and I'm alone and I just kind of sit and just actively enjoy the stillness. So I think that just being present in that quiet and just really feeling that stillness, and that just, it feels so good as a contrast to the chaos that is most of the rest of the day.
Yeah, thank you, wonderful. Yeah.
I use my breath and the sensations that I feel through my body that helps me center my mind. And then I get to a point, if I'm watching my breath, and it might be 45 minutes of watching it, that I can literally feel that, where your breath becomes very, very subtle, and then my mind is very calm with that. That makes sense?
Yeah, it makes sense. Wonderful, yeah.
One of the problems that I found when I came off the medications was that my mind would race. Well, I have PTSD and I have a traumatic brain injury as well. So there might be some other whatever, you know, but I would find that my mind would race. And so my breathing, I would focus on my breathing, you know, and then my mind would race, I'd bring it back to my breathing again. All right? And this would happen quite often. Like at the beginning, one of my problems was that I would focus on a goal, you know, and I just let go of that because there is no goal, you know. And but I noticed that, you know, you watch TV, you watch all these different things, and, you know, you kind of lose your focus on what's important. You know, you're losing your focus on integrity, on honesty, on, you know, friendship, on trust, and you're focusing it on things that are basically, in my opinion, kind of not too important as opposed to that. So when you do that, you live in this stress, you know, And when I started focusing on what was important, you know, that made it a little easier, you know, and what I did with the breath, you know, your mind starts racing, so you have to bring it back to that breath, to that physical feeling. Because that mind racing, that's the emotional. So you bring it, you count, that's how I do it. That's how I started, you know. Thank you.
Olha, só. So meditation, you know, like I said, some form of meditation, you know, according to traditions, that, you know, does require sitting properly. So that's why I explained there's no seven sitting position. So when you think about what is meditation for, how you meditate, that's another thing. According to traditions, you learn how to sit properly, and that's how you do sitting meditations. There's number of meditation does require sitting positions. So now, what is meditation for? Meditation is for to reduce, minimize disturbing thought. Do you agree? So the only way that you can reduce disturbing thought is to think something positive. Do you agree? You know, if the water is very hot, only way to cool that water, you not just sit around in front of that water and say some prayer. So the may this water is going to be cold very quickly. It's not going to be cool. So what you need to do practically, you need to put more cold water, then the water is going to get cold. Similarly, that's exactly how it works when it comes down the mind. So what meditation is for to reduce or minimize disturbing thought. So that's why I was wondering, maybe that's between East and West, maybe that's like common ground that we all agree one form of meditation, so that's, you know. So now it's a little bit like here, the meditation been around like since like Venerable Hippie's time. 60s or 70s, you know. Those are the, you know, Venerable Hippies. Those are the ones who brought the meditation. Since then, meditation has been, known in the West, you know, quite a bit. Then there's, every time when you hear, you know, there's all kinds of people talk about all kinds of ways. So I was, you know, like, wondering. So it looks like we all agree that what meditation is for reduce, you know, disturbing thought. So mind, you know, is there all the time. And usually I jokingly say, that's like permanent roommate. We can't get rid of permanent roommate. So it's there all the time. So, and not just that, we do think every day, all this is kind of amazing, like, I can count how many different thoughts that pops up in my mind every day, if I can count them. That many thoughts just pop up. So I myself make sure that I don't act on every thought that arises. You know, my life is going to be miserable, you know. Because why? Because unfortunately, most of the thoughts are not positive. Do you agree? Most of thoughts arise not positive. You know, here the Western psychology encourages you to express your thought. Not necessarily express, but you live with that, then try to think how to digest them, you know. But anyway, so then what is meditation for? Then in that context, then meditation can be done all day long. Don't have to sit down, you know. It's true, like, the mind is like a baby. You need to protect your mind. And, you know, all kinds of ways. You know, when you have a child, you know, some mother, you know, take care of baby, sometimes need a pet. You know, sometimes, you know, all these all can do all kinds of use all kind of methods. So in my case, you know, and I, when how I think something positive, I heavily rely on some materials. So then I try to remind myself, you know, as a child I'm going to seek, you know, so this is like strong, like the will, the, you know, there's some text, it says, if I need to live in the fire pits, not just 1 minute, eons and eons in that text. My compassion is not going to deteriorate by sitting in the fire pit, eons and eons, just to protect one sentient beings. So that gives you some courage, you know, that gives you some courage. Okay. So, you know, that gives you some courage, you know, like if that's the kind of prayer that I say every day, so I should think something, you know, I should think a little bit. Oh. So then, you know, eight verses, thought transformations, you know, eight verses, thought transformations. You know, it does, other people's unhappiness does matter. Other people's happiness does matter. Oh, it's matter. Oh. So, I heavily rely on some materials and I'm trying to review them daily basis. I try to review them daily basis and try to remind myself. Try to remind myself samsara, or the meaning of the samsara and the opportunities, you know, like possibilities, you know, to improve, not to quarter with my past experience, try to move forward. Always every day thinking what I can do today, what I can do, rather than thinking what I cannot do. Yeah, there are so many things I cannot do. I wish to speak 25 languages, but I can't, practically, I cannot speak 25 languages, you know. I barely speak English. Sometimes I really struggle, I want to say something in English that, you know, I can't. You know, so like that, there are so many things I cannot do. But there's so many things I can do, you know, I can do, you know. Every day I'm thinking, okay, make me better, make me, cause, make me good person, you know, make me good person. So, then I was yesterday, make me good person. For me, for everyone, everywhere, you know, to make me good person, you know, to think something positive, to think something positive. It's not easy, you know, it's a challenge, but you know, yes, I was wondering, you know, I'm heavily rely on some materials, you know, to take care of my mind, or to repeat some words, you know, words, so then through words, in the beginning, practically, it's very difficult, therefore, you repeat certain word, then through that, you're hoping that your mind is going to change, just repeating that word, you know, just repeating the word. Oh. May I able to see all living beings as something very precious. Very special, something very precious. Regardless, Christian, Buddhist, Islam, don't care. May I able to see every being as something very precious. If I have that mindset in my, if that mindset is alive, I see things differently. I see people differently, so. So there's, you know, the very beginning of the eight verses, thought transformations. It says, may I able to see, you remember by heart? Now time is running out. can somebody say the word, that stanza? Yeah, eight verses, thought transformations, first one.
Determined to
assist. I remember in Tibetan, but doesn't help.
Determined to obtain the greatest benefit from all sentient beings. May I?
Yeah, something like that. It was the thought affirmations. Okay, thought affirmations. So anyway, so now time is over, so I thank you, each and every one of you, who contributed to these discussions. So we are going to do that, you know, second part of the class every Sunday, So we want to hear, please contribute. You know, that's how we need to help each other. You know, we need to share our experience, each other we need to share. So every one of you has something to contribute, not just me, you know. So of course, you know, I have more Buddhist knowledge, doesn't mean I have more experience. But you know, so last, since we are doing that, I think people are really, I say, grateful what you said in here. So please, you know, continue. And also, if you have questions, then put here, question put here, and write it down, and put it here, then through questions, there's another way to, you know, have discussions, okay? Well, thank you very much, and have a nice weekend.
Now in the Gold Prayer Book, if you'll please turn to page 246. 246, and in the White Prayer Book, it's the dedication from Master Shantideva, Bodhikaryavatara. May all beings everywhere, plagued by sufferings of body and mind, obtain an ocean of happiness and joy by virtue of my merit. May no living creature suffer, commit evil, or ever fall ill. May no one be afraid or belittled with a mind weighed down by depression. May the blind see forms and the deaf hear sounds. May those whose bodies are worn with toil be restored on finding repose. May the naked find clothing, the hungry find food. May the thirsty find water and delicious drinks. May the poor find wealth, those weak with sorrow find joy. May the forlorn find hope, constant happiness and prosperity. May there be timely rains and bountiful harvests. May all medicines be effective and wholesome prayers bear fruit. May all who are sick and ill quickly be freed from their ailments. Whatever diseases there are in the world, may they never occur again. May the frightened cease to be afraid, and those bound be free. May the powerless find power. May people think of benefiting each other. For as long as space remains, for as long as sentient beings remain, until then may I too remain to dispel the miseries of the world. Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re Soha. 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 Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re Soha.
Can I say one more thing, please? So one important thing, yeah, I'm going to say one more thing. So for meditation, you know, so like, yeah, of course, no, you can do all kind of meditation you can do. But having some, like, instructions, you know, so doesn't have to be, you know, very Buddhist, doesn't have to be, point is to help your mind. If you have a list of things, okay, that's what I'm going to think, list of things, you know. I'm going to think about grateful, you know, gratitude, or satisfaction, contentment, or few desires. If you have a list of things, you can create a list of things, something positive things, you know. Then you can sit, then you go through step by step, then you become so familiar with that. So that's good, you know. Otherwise, do one time meditation, you know, thinking something, and you don't have instructions. It's hard. So then you create one instructions. Point is to think something positive. That's all. That's all. No? So create some list, and you go through the list. The list might get longer and longer, so that's good news. So then your meditation, you know, you can sit very comfortably thinking something positive. So that's the way to, you know, more positive thoughts you generate it, the better we are going to be off, you know, health-wise, life-wise, life, then slowly, life do become piece of cake, I hope. Yeah, thank you.